The question and answer program everyone enjoys.
I would say yes.
That's right.
That's right.
Here are the questions.
We will start with Kylie in Bermagui. Hello, Kylie.
Hello, Suzanne.
How's life in? Now, I'm terrified of saying, and I'm never sure if it's Bermagui or Bermagui. Which is it?
Bermagui.
Gui. The Gui.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bermagui. Or Burmy.
Okay. Well, that's an easy way to avoid mucking up the end of it. How is life in Burmy tonight?
It's gorgeous. Yeah, it's lovely. I've been here for over a week now. We're getting a bathroom done and I can't beat around the fumes and everything. So I'm sort of been relegated to Bermagui.
I don't know that relegated is the right word, is it? Sounds like it's
been lovely. Yeah. I've so enjoyed it. It's been fabulous. And as I was telling Lockie, so many whales. I've been watching whales every day. It's been incredible.
Oh, wow. So have you got a big window that you can see them out of, or have you had to go down to the beach? Oh,
No. Straight out. There they are. And like the other day there were like about, I reckon there were eight, and they were just basking and they just laid there all day. It was incredible. Like you could have swum out. You could have swum out. They were that close. It was incredible.
Well, thank goodness for your renovation that has seen you relegated to Burmy. Now, Kylie, a few people have figured this out already. For example, Emily and Warwick and Lynn and Tana and Adrian and Morgan all know the answer. Who do you think this was? During a visit to a sheep station in Western Australia in March 1979, who was photographed wearing a hat with corks dangling from the brim?
I will say Prince Charles.
Prince Charles is the correct answer.
Oh, yes.
He wore it again on a visit to Melbourne in 1981. I don't know if he took it home and actually brought the same hat back or whether it was waiting for him or a different hat. But, yes, for millions of people, their first exposure to the Aussie cork hat may well have been these photos of Prince Charles wearing one during his royal tours. But no one really knows where it comes from. Question two, what colour was the Phrygian cap worn by working-class revolutionaries in Paris during the French Revolution?
Oh, gosh. I have no idea. Pick a colour. I'll just pick blue.
I'm afraid it's not blue, Kylie.
Not blue? Okay. Bye, Suzanne.
Thanks for kicking us off. Oh, by the way, before I let you go, are you a hat person, Kylie? What is your take on the hat?
Such a hat person. I have so many hats. I wear a hat nearly every single day. I once lost all my hair, so I had to wear hats, and I've just never, ever stopped wearing hats.
Do you have a favourite hat?
I do. It's in the car, and I wear it. It's a summer hat. I wear it every summer, and I love it. But now I've also got a grey felt one that I've just discovered that I'm going to be, it's my winter hat.
All right. Well, you are
such a hat person.
Perfect person to kick off our hat history quiz tonight. Thanks, Kylie.
Bye.
Bye. Yes, I'm partial to, I've got a snood that I bought about 12 years ago that I'm very partial to in winter. And I had this white felt hat that I bought in Perth at a wedding in 2012 and I loved it to bits. And then I lost it about 5 years ago and I've been mourning it ever since. Now, Seb, are you a hat person?
Well, sometimes. It depends if the hat looks nice on me.
Okay. So you're willing to give it a go if the hat looks good?
Yes.
Fair enough. What colour, Seb, was the Phrygian cap worn by working class revolutionaries in Paris during the French Revolution? They were not blue.
I believe they looked like Smurf hats, but they were red.
Yeah, Smurf hats is probably a good description of that, yes. And they were red, Seb. Nicely done. You can see these hats on revolutionary art and on coins around the world. Now, our next question is a multiple choice, question three.
Okay.
Which poisonous chemical did 18th and 19th century hat makers inhale while using it to cure fur into felt? Was it arsenic, lead, mercury, or thallium?
I don't know why, but I have a feeling it's mercury.
Probably because it's correct. Yes,
oh, okay.
It is mercury, Seb. You've heard the phrase mad as a hatter, haven't you?
I have.
Yes. So hatters frequently suffered from mercury poisoning because of the constant exposure to the mercury nitrate. That resulted in neurological symptoms like tremors, mood swings and hallucinations, hence the phrase mad as a hatter. It came from all that exposure to mercury.
I never knew that. Oh, fascinating.
I know. This is what we learn on our history quiz. Jeff says the red caps in Paris. Jeff literally learnt that just yesterday. And here it is coming up on the quiz. Oh, and Amanda in Newcastle says that Richard Scollier, of course, the former Australian of the Year who died only, I think that was, gosh, that was this time last week we heard about his death, wasn't it? Amanda says Richard Scollier gave King Charles an Akubra hat on his most recent visit to Australia. Thank you for that bit of trivia, or for that, Amanda. Okay, Seb, let's continue the hats of history. Question four. In 1966, what kind of black hat was adopted by the Black Panthers as part of their official uniform?
Oh, it was a beret, wasn't it?
It was a beret.
Hmm.
Nice work, yeah. The founders of the Black Panthers, Huey Newton and Bobby Seale, chose it because they had been watching a movie about the French resistance fighters of World War II who were wearing berets. Yeah, and they got the idea from there. Thus it was born.
Oh, wow. Well, revolutionaries love speaking French, don't they?
They seem to, yes. Question five. Legend has it that a chef's toque blanche, or white hat, has 100 pleats to represent the 100 ways to cook what?
One white pleat as 100 ways to cook. I'm going to do a shot in the dark and say maybe chicken, because that's a white meat.
It is not chicken.
Okay, well, it was a fun time. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, that was a very good role, Seb. Thank you very much for being part of Hat History tonight. Trev. Hello, Trev.
Hello, Suzanne.
Do you ever get deck 99 out in a hat?
Do I ever? Sorry, say again.
Do you ever put 99 in a hat?
Yes, I do, on her birthday. Which, incidentally, is the same as my birthday. And she looks ridiculous.
What kind of...
She looks ridiculous anyway, because she's one of the biggest idiots that God ever shoveled guts into. Put a hat on her and it just confirms it. She's sitting here asleep on the lounge. Wake up, 99.
You're being talked about 99. The nation is keen to hear about 99.
Well, there's only one thing worse than being talked about, isn't there, you dopey-looking thing?
So when you say you put a hat on her, is it like one of the Christmas cracker hats that she gets for her birthday?
Oh, one of the pointy ones, you know, like a little dancer's hat. I'll tell you a story about hats. When I was very young, like just started work, I used to hang around places and I bought a pink Panama hat. And then one day at the church group I used to go to held a concert and they said, oh, you can MC it. So I put on a pink dressing gown and a pink hat and turning up in drag at a church concert in 1977 was a bit weird. Anyway, I hosted it, and the pink Panama is something I'm still remembered for.
Trev, that bloke who wore the pink Panama and has that dog, 99. That's you.
Look, life is full.
Now, on the SMS, says Amy says, I love hats, although I don't wear them nearly as much anymore. My favourite is a sandy-coloured corduroy cap that has cool bananas embroidered on the front, says Amy. That's excellent, Amy. Actually, I also realised today when we went to get dressed to go watch the Socceroos that we lost our Matilda's caps that we had from the Women's World Cup. So that was a loss. You lose a lot of caps along the way, don't you, Trev?
You do. I just buy pink baseball caps now as a nod to the past. And yeah, even if you leave them somewhere, you know there's another two or three at home you can put on.
And now I've got an entertaining picture of somebody else's dog. Oh, dear. Right, Trev. Question five. Legend has it that a chef's toque blanche or white hat has 100 pleats to represent the 100 ways to cook what? It is not chicken.
There's 100 ways to cook everything from really terrible to absolutely fantastic. And you do the, 1% scale. Look, I'll just guess and say fish.
It is not fish.
Oh, damn.
I know.
I hate that. I hate spending time on the radio and getting a question wrong. It's not fair. You've got to get a question right to earn the right to babble on about your pink hat.
No, you just have to be entertaining, Trev. That's all that you have to do. And don't worry, you fulfill that requirement every time. Right.
Thank you.
Farewell.
Good night
to you. Good night to 99. Quite a few people have figured this out. David, Mary, Jane, Ingrid, Baronia, Karen, Ed, Robin, Jude, Nanette, Adrian, Di, Chris. Yeah. Probably won't be too long until we get an answer to this one. I do have some lines free, 1-300-800-222, if you want to be part of our hat history quiz tonight. Stuart.
Oh, g'day, Suzanne. G'day. He's a funny guy, Trev, isn't he?
He is. He's quite entertaining.
He's got an attitude problem, I think.
You just said hattitude, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
He's a hard act to follow. He is a funny man.
Now, I was wondering if you felt like you would love some more space between yourself and Trev, so, you know.
I know he's a... No, please. He's just unbeatable. Trev, you're right. He's a funny man.
We've had a lot of characters over the years, haven't we?
Yeah, for sure.
Trev's all the way up there.
He certainly... there's a few people around. I haven't heard from, I can't remember his name. A long time ago, he's a real funny guy, but I haven't heard from him for ages.
Yeah, Stuart, your phone continues to be a funny character on the quiz, I have to say.
Hey?
A landline is making that much of a terrible
noise.
Yeah,
it's annoying. I'm moving around. It's the only phone I've got. I'm actually upside down on the bed with my head.
Okay, stay right where you are.
It's really difficult, I can tell you. It's like the old antenna with the rabbit ears trying to get your TV to work. You remember that?
Yes.
That's what it's like. Now, I'm actually stuck. I'm actually going to get stuck like this. I'll be paralysed for life.
And then you'll blame it all on us, wanting your phone line to be better. Now, question...
The hard ways to cook something, Craig. There's a lot of things to cook, Suzanne. Yeah.
All right, well, it's not chicken and it's not fish.
No, it's not. Well, that narrows it down a bit, doesn't it? There's only been another million things it can be. I'm going to go an egg.
You are correct.
Oh, my God.
It is an egg.
Fair dinkum.
Fair dinkum, Stuart.
Good-o.
Yeah.
Sorry, Trevor, I cut your lunch, mate.
In 1821, while working for the British government, an early pioneer of the grand cuisine cooking style, Marie-Antoine Carême, known as the King of Chefs and the Chef of Kings, was impressed by the crisp, distinguished look of military uniforms. That inspired him to design a culinary uniform that would embody the excellence and prestige of Europe's finest cuisines.
It's clever, isn't it? History is an interesting thing, how things evolve, isn't it?
Oh, it's fascinating.
Yeah, I'm listening to the Napoleonic, the thing about the Napoleonic Wars at the moment, where a bloke called Simon Scarrow, and he's an author. It's just the things that happen historically. Oh, my God. It's just interesting, that's all.
Now, from Tony, we're taking some correspondence if you just want to tell me about your hat habits. Tony says, I have three trilbies, which I wear depending on the occasion. A white trilby for the day, a black for evening wear, and a straw-coloured trilby for summer. Stuart, are you much into your hats?
Yeah, I've got a fedora.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm in it with a girl, Emanuela Mastula Schwartz, back in 1983 in Kosamui. She's an Austrian girl, and she had this hat, and she gave it to me as a parting gift, and I've still got it.
Oh.
Selco. Yeah, Selco. It's called, the brand is Selco, but it's a black fedora. I really like it. They look cool. I said, I really like your hat. And I knew her for a few days. Real nice girl, wasn't it? She gave me a hat as a parting gift. I was touched.
That is special. I wonder if anyone else has a special hat that someone gave them.
Yeah, I still remember her name. She's a really nice girl. She reminded me of the blonde she had read of ever.
Anna or Frida?
No, the blonde one.
Yeah, that's Anna, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, she's a good-looking girl.
Oh, dear me.
Oh, my God, I was young and I could see, too.
Yeah.
I was young and ridiculous, now I'm just ridiculous.
Okay. See, you're giving Trevor a run for his money, Stuart.
No, don't worry about that.
Hey, question.
What happened to your hat, the one you had, the white hat for your wedding?
I've got no idea. I didn't wear it at my wedding. I bought it for somebody else's wedding.
Someone else's, yeah.
I thought it was in the car and it wasn't. And then I realised I'd lost it. I'm so devastated. I've been devastated for years. I love that hat.
Couldn't you get another one?
I can never find another one that was exactly like it. I try them on, I'm like, no.
I could never find another fedora. I've got you. I'm with you. I'm on the same page.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just one of those things, a fleeting moment of happiness. It's gone.
All right, Stuart, let's try and move this thing along. The American frontiersman and folk hero David Crockett is famous for wearing a hat made from the fur of which animal?
Raccoon.
Raccoon is correct.
He was killed in 1836 in the Alamo. David Crockett.
Yes. Yes, he was.
Him and David Bowie. No, not David Bowie. Jim Bowie.
Oh, yeah. Was David Jones part of that too?
He might have been. I'm not too sure. I think it was 180 people killed there. I'm not too sure about David Jones. He started a store, didn't he?
Yeah, later. I could be wrong. Someone who knows about the Alamo, let me know. Was David Jones involved or am I just... Davy Crockett.
Davy
Crockett.
Did you say Daniel Boone or Davy Crockett, the question?
I said, who did I say?
I don't know.
I said Davy Crockett.
Oh, you did.
Oh my goodness, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm losing it.
That's quite all right. I've lost it some years ago. There was the Trilby hat. Do you remember Homicide, the show back in the 1960s?
I'm a bit young for that.
Well, you might have seen a replay of Matt Lock, please. They all had Trilby hats on. Anyway, it's okay.
Okay, now let me, this one from Amanda. In the 90s, I had a raffia hat made for me by a friend's mum. It was munched by a horse in the Upper Hunter. Oh, sorry, Amanda. Oh, dear. Right, Stuart.
What's a raffia hat,
I mean, I don't know that I can describe it. It's a kind of like a straw-ish kind of material, but not really straw.
So the horse ate it.
Yeah, fancied it. Question 7, Stuart.
Yeah,
Queen Elizabeth II wore a lime green hat and matching dress to whose wedding?
Right. God, lime green, that doesn't sound too good, does it? A lime green dress and what kind of hat?
It was a lime green hat and matching dress to whose wedding?
Not very nice, is it? Well, you've already mentioned Charles with his hat, so I don't think it'll be Diana. I'll go Harry and Meghan.
Nice work. It is Harry and Meghan.
All right. What a pair they are. My God.
Let's not go there. Let's move on instead to question 8. True or false, Stuart? Ned Kelly was the only member of the Kelly gang who had a helmet.
I think it's true.
It is not true.
Well, actually, I was there. It is.
It's not true. And you're done. You're out, Stuart.
Hello.
All right, bye. Oh, dear. 1-300-800-222 if you would like to be part of the History of Hats quiz here on Nightlife tonight. Kathy is a first-time caller in Myoree. Is it Kathy?
Kathy, yes. Hi.
Hi. But where's the place you're from? Myoree, is it?
Myoree, yes.
Myoree. Tell us where Myoree is for those who don't know, including me.
It's a very small little place on the way to Fremantle.
Okay, so you're in Western Australia?
Correct.
All right. Welcome to the quiz. Very glad to have you on board, Kathy. Now, you've basically got a freebie to start with because it was a true or false question and Stuart gave us the incorrect answer. So I will ask it again. Ned Kelly was the only member of the Kelly gang who had a helmet. Is that true or false? And Stuart said it was true.
Well, it's got to be false then.
It is false. That's right.
That's easy.
Yeah. Dan Kelly's and Steve Hart's armour was photographed at the Benalla police station the day after the Glenrowan siege, which indicated that, there was more than one helmet. And those, that belong to Dan and Steve, which are now in the possession of the Victoria Police Museum, are indeed legitimate.
Didn't do them any good, though, did it? Really?
Not really. Not in the end. Kathy, you got your first question right, and you are a first-time caller, so I'm going to give you some special applause.
Yeah. The audience there.
Question 9. When Spanish soldiers who occupied Flanders during the 17th century began pinning up the brims of their floppy hats to make it easier to carry and fire their rifles, they invented which kind of hat?
Ooh, that's a tricky one. South cap, would it be, maybe?
A south cap?
Slough.
A slough cap.
Slough.
Slouch. Oh my goodness, the phone line is not so good. But Kathy, it is not a slouch hat.
It's not. Oh, no. Well.
Okay, thanks for being part of the show, Kathy. To call again.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. I'm only going to read this comment. I mean, because Amanda's had a few comments, but she says she's going for a hat trick of comments read out. Nicely done. That Ned Kelly's armour is the Melbourne State Library. We should have put a hat trick question in this quiz. Greta is responsible for tonight's quiz, and I'm pretty sure Greta is not a cricket fan, so it probably didn't cross her mind. Let's talk to Anne in Caulfield. Evening, Anne.
Hi, how are you going?
Anne, are you a hat person?
Actually, I am, yeah.
What kind of hat do you like?
Oh, actually, I've got a few, ranging from elegant to little fascinators to a baseball cap, which I don't really like, or ordinary sun hat also, which is, you know, that's one which I sort of wear because I have to, not because I want to.
Mm. Right, well, you've got a lot of hats. You've got a lot of options to put on for the headwear, Anne. Excellent.
Yes, but I haven't got a hat on now.
Now, question 9. When Spanish soldiers who occupied Flanders during the 17th century began pinning up the brims of their floppy hats to make it easier to carry and fire their rifles, they invented which kind of hat? It was not a slouch hat.
I think it's a three-corner thing. Tricorn or something like
tricorn
that.
Tricorn is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. The back was then pinned up to stop rain dripping down the soldier's neck, thus creating the triangular shape, and the tricorn hat was born. Well done. And question 10 in our hat-themed history quiz tonight. Abraham Lincoln's iconic style of hat is named after and resembles which household item?
Oh, I didn't think it was. I'm wondering if that's a stovepipe.
It is a stovepipe hat, Anne.
It had never sort of occurred to me, but yeah. Mm. Maybe I'd heard it in somewhere in the distant past or something, yeah.
Yeah. Now, apparently, Abraham Lincoln liked to stuff letters, notes, newspaper clippings and important documents inside the crown of his hat. Colleagues and visitors frequently observed him pulling papers out of it during meetings. Now, he was wearing his stovepipe hat the night that he was assassinated, the 14th of April, 1865, and the hat that he was wearing is preserved in the Smithsonian Institution.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's a lot of hat-related trivia related to Abraham Lincoln, isn't it?
And apparently he didn't wear it all the time either. I remember hearing something like that quite recently, that he wasn't a constant hat wearer. Although that's just something I heard. I don't know if it's true or not. Mm.
We hear a lot of things. I can assure you we have fact-checked everything in this quiz. That's good. Now, Kylie says, this is the Kylie that we were speaking to first up tonight, my daughter was on a date with her now partner's boat. She wore her fabulous black woolen hat. It blew off and they watched it sink beneath the waves. She was devastated, and we have spent years, like you, trying to find a replacement. Oh, I know, Kylie. I feel the pain of watching that hat sink beneath the waves.
Years ago, we went to a place in Queensland. You know, Movie World. You know, the Australian version of it, and. You go on this ride, and the bloke says, "Hold on to your hats." And I thought, "Oh yeah, he just means so it's, you know, just take care or something." Anyway, we're going on this ride on a hat with a hat I'd only worn once. The thing starts spinning and turning and going God knows where, and my hat goes also falls off into the sort of rivery thing that we were on. I don't think I'm making much sense, but...
Did you get it back?
No, I got it back a bit soggy and mushy. It was a crappy sun hat, you know. It was the first time I'd worn it. I hadn't even paid the credit card bill.
Had it already been for a swim.
It had it. Anyway.
Now, Bill of 8 Mile Plains very cheekily suggests that my white hat would look great with socks and sandals. Well, Bill, we will never know, because that white hat will never be found again, and I don't think I'll ever find a replacement.
Do you know what? You could go to a milliner. This is fair dinkum. You can go to a milliner, say what you want and describe it, and they'll come up with it for you.
Do you know, I actually have a friend who's a milliner, and I have pictures of the hat. So I don't know why I haven't thought of it. I have thought of this a couple of times, Anne, and I've never made it happen, but maybe I can.
Well, I've got a friend who's in Melbourne, but she's here. I think you're in Sydney. That's not going to help you much.
Oh, good, Anne. If I go down that path, I think I can take care of that. Now, let's see what is happening in question 11 here. In 1571, Parliament passed a law requiring most English men over the age of 6, so boys and men, to wear caps on Sundays made from which material in order to support which domestic industry? The material and the industry are the same.
I'm thinking either cotton.
It is not cotton, Nan.
Or wool.
Oh.
I did say either, so I haven't answered yet.
Oh, I don't know. I thought you said, is it cotton, and left a gap.
Because I was thinking, you know what, it's probably wool, and I'll say goodnight. I'm not going to sort of push the issue. Okay?
Oh, now I feel guilty, Anne. Why don't you have it? It is wool. Have it.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry. Next time I will be silent until I'm absolutely sure that the answer has been given.
Well, you know, I usually give two options.
That is true. And then usually you talk about, you know, how you're going to go and kick yourself when you get the wrong one. That is true. It was very, very Anne-esque of you. Yes, this law specified a cap of wool knit, thickened and dressed in England. I don't know what that means. Made in England, I guess, to be worn on Sundays and holidays in order to boost demand for English wool, help sheep farmers, support cap makers, and reduce reliance on imported goods. Anyone who failed to wear the required cap could be fined 3 farthings or 3/4 of a penny.
That would be a hell of a lot at that time.
Now, question 12. Where were Victorian men, as in men of the Victorian era, most likely to wear a chapeau claque, otherwise known as a collapsible top hat?
At a funeral.
Are you giving a second option and then deciding?
Look, I really can't think where. I'll just say that because or a church service, but they sort of go together anyway.
No, it's not. It's not a funeral, Anne.
No worries. See you later.
All right. Nice to chat. Thank you. We've got a few people on the line now. This is from Pam, who says, my mother trained as a milliner. I loved watching her make different hats on her wooden hat blocks. She made pillbox hats, our Sunday school hats, even some jockey caps. Oh, how very interesting. Okay, Brian in Nowra. We also have Brian from The Gap on the line, but this one is Brian in Nowra. Hey, Brian.
Hi, Suzanne.
Now, the question is, we're on question 12, where were Victorian men most likely to wear a chapeau clac, otherwise known as a collapsible top hat?
Sorry, my voice is not very good tonight. Old Parky's getting out of the voice box.
No, that's quite all right.
I'm going to say in church.
No, it's not in church. Thanks, Brian. Okay, now we'll go to our second Brian, the one from The Gap. Hello, Brian from The Gap.
Hello, Suzanne.
Well, now this is twice in a weekend, Brian. This is getting out of control.
It's a good match, isn't it? Yeah.
You've really picked it up. Picked up your attendance rate. Very much appreciated.
Yes, yeah, well, I've just caught up with Lockie because he wasn't there on either of the Fridays that I've been on so far, but he tells me he's just doing Sundays now. So.
That's right, yes. It's usually Freya on a Friday, but then Freya was sick, so we had Tom. But so I'm glad you two had a chance to catch up. Mm. Brian, where?
Yeah, I was just about to say, suggest church, but since Brian beat me to it, I can't say that. I have to think of something else. A collapsible top hat.
Mm.
No, I just thought you'd wear the hat outside and when you got into church you'd take your collapsible hat off or something.
Now, there's quite a specific destination at which you would wear this chapeau clac or the collapsible top hat.
When you say a specific destination, are there lots of these specific destinations?
I mean, yes, I would say so.
How about at the races?
It is not the races. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Suzanne.
All right. Well, I'm hoping this might repeat next week. We might get to chat to you again. You look after yourself. There's Brian. Now, quite a few people have this. Baronia has it. Bobsledge, you'd hedged your bets, but one of them was more or less right. Lorella, that's it. Jane, that's it. Ed and Ingrid and John and Adrian, you've all figured this one out. Let's talk to Sandy in Wangaratta. Good evening, Sandy.
It's actually in Albury.
Oh, I don't know why it says Wangaratta. You're not too far up the road, no. But it's not the same place, clearly.
No, and I was going to say the races too, but obviously I've got that wrong. So, has someone said wedding?
No one has said wedding.
Well, I'm going to say that, but I don't know why it would be collapsible.
It's not a wedding.
Right. I have a safari hat. I bought it in an op shop because I loved it. We were driving in a convertible car. I've got very, very thick hair and it really hurts when you're driving in an open car. And I found this hat and I love it. And I just tie it on with a scarf. And, you know, it cost me, it's a Sunfari Westco Amherst, New Hampshire adjustable headband made in the USA, and I paid a huge amount of $4 for it. But I love it. It's sort of like a firm hat. It's quite firm, which is another reason I like wearing it in the car. But and it's just like a safari hat.
Oh, well,
it is a safari hat.
I like a firm hat too. A firm hat that doesn't blow away is good, isn't it, Sandy?
Well, it is. It is, and it's adjustable as well. but I've had it for probably about 4 or 5 years and visiting a dear friend of mine in Painesville, in the Painesville op shop. Love it.
There you are. You're in hat heaven. Thank you, Sandy. Nice to chat with you. Let's chat to Mark in Darwin. Hello, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
Well, now, Mark, where were Victorian-era men most likely to wear a chapeau claque, otherwise known as a collapsible top hat? It's not in church, at a wedding, at a funeral, or at the races.
At the theatre.
At the theatre is correct. I mean, specifically the opera, but I'm going to take the theatre too. Yeah, the claqueur is French for to snap or to clap. It's named after the sound of the spring mechanism that is in the hat when it pops open. It's often called an opera hat in English because opera houses were one of the most common places that you would wear this hat. Mark, question 13. What kind of hat was used as punishment in classrooms during the 19th and early 20th century?
A dunce's hat.
A dunce's hat is correct. Yes, usually cone-shaped hats they were. Because originally they were actually meant to be a sign of genius that you got to wear one of these hats, but then the idea of that fell out of fashion and it came to be just the opposite. So the dunce cap would sort of indicate that you were considered naughty or a slow learner. Question 14. The feathers in a traditional war bonnet worn by Native American Great Plains tribes are primarily made from the feathers of what kind of bird?
Emu.
It is not an emu.
Oh,
thanks, Mark. David from East Brighton. Hello, David. David, are you there?
Yes, I am.
There you are. Question 14, David. The feathers in a traditional war bonnet worn by Native American Great Plains tribes are primarily made from the feathers of what kind of bird?
I have no idea. I actually ranked for one of the earlier questions in this one. I have no idea at all.
Do you want to have a guess?
A hawk.
Okay. It's not a hawk. But look, you've helped someone else by ruling that out for us. Thanks, David.
Okay.
Cameron in South Perth.
Ah, good evening. Or good morning. It's good evening to us, but good morning to you.
Quite right. I feel like we haven't spoken to you in a little while, Cameron.
No, that's true. Yeah.
Well, nice to have you back. What are these feathers? They're from what kind of bird, the ones made in the traditional war bonnets worn by Native American Great Plains tribes?
Eagles.
Yes. Specifically, it is a golden eagle. In many plains cultures, the golden eagle is regarded as the most powerful and spiritually significant bird, and each feather had to be earned through an act of courage, leadership, or service. Now, question 15 actually has a little bit of audio. I want you to tell me who is singing. This is a piece of singing from 1943, and then I also want you to tell me what the person singing is wearing on their head.
I wonder why does everybody look at me and then begin to talk about the Christmas tree. I hope that means that everyone is glad to see.
Who is that, Cameron?
I have no idea. Good night.
Okay, good night. Here's Vando.
Oh, good morning.
Thank you, Vando.
No worries. I've got a hat. I had a favourite hat that I made out of an old a Kubra, and you take all the stitching out and then you boil it and then you put cold water and boil and cold, and it looks like a hat from Punkin' Puss and Mushmouth, if you remember that cartoon.
I don't.
It ends up a big soggy, well, it's a big sort of unshaped felt hat, which is good for shade and everything and good if it rains, but I left it on the train to Pompeii.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I've since built another one, but, yeah, anyway, that's my hat loss story.
This hat loss is a common theme amongst the discussions we've been having tonight, isn't it?
Well, it sort of inspired my phone call, as a matter of fact. But anyway, I'm guessing that was Julie Andrews, and was she wearing a white handkerchief or something like that on her head?
No. You're far from it, I'm afraid, Vando.
I actually use a snap hat because it makes sense. You've got a top hat at the theatre so you can crush it down and people behind you can see.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Well, Vanto, I'm sorry about your hat loss. Just imagine that all our special hats are all somewhere together, keeping each other company.
I just wish blokes could wear a fascinator. I suppose I could wear a fascinator, which is, you know, you get that the fly screen you put around your head to stop the flies getting in your mouth.
You know what, Vando? It's a modern world. You can wear whatever you want. No judgment here.
I suppose. Anyway, grazie and toodaloo, Pip.
All right. Thanks, Vando. Nice to talk to you. Here is Ian in Dover. Quite a few people know who this is too. Bob Sled and Maria and Baronia and Jill and Jude. Hey, Ian.
Hey, good morning.
Let me play it for you again.
I wonder why does everybody look at me and then begin to talk about the Christmas tree. I hope that means that everyone is glad to see.
So the question is, who is that and what's on her head? It's from 1943.
I think there's a fruit salad on her head.
And who is it?
I think it might be Carmen Miranda.
You are correct on both fronts. Boy. Yes. She in 1943, she starred in Busby Berkeley's The Gang's All Here, which featured musical numbers like The Lady in the Tutti Frutti Hat, and that made fruit hats her trademark in Hollywood. Question 16, Ian. Which brimless hat, mandated as standard headwear in Turkey by an Ottoman sultan in the 1820s, is named after a city in Morocco?
I used to have a relative who used to wear one of these when she was cooking.
And the answer is?
And it's a fez.
A fez while she was cooking? Just for the cooking?
Yes, but it lived on top of the fridge. her name was Sylvie. And there was some Egyptian background and stuff. She'd have one dram of brandy and put on the fez and cook up a feast.
Oh, wow. There's a nice story.
It's good fun. She's a really nice woman.
Yeah. But, the fez became a real symbol of, I guess, old Turkey. And President Mustafa Kemal Atatürk banned the fez. He had hat laws about it that came in 1925 because he wanted to distance Turkey from the Ottoman past and promote Western-style hats. So if you...
I wear lots of hats. If I want to go out in disguise, I don't wear a hat and no one knows who it is. I nearly swapped one of my cowboy hats for a fez one night with a chap who'd emigrated to Australia as a refugee. We swapped hats at a meeting I was at, and I should have given him my cowboy hat. He really liked it. It really suited him too. But the fez did not suit me.
Now, here's a story from Ruby. When I was 9, I went on a school field trip. I lost my mum's white hat that she'd lent me. I panicked and I bought a cheap new hat. I didn't say a word. I don't know how I didn't get into trouble because the new hat was blue and she'd lost her mum's white hat. Maybe mum thought it was so funny she took mercy on me. Oh, that's funny, Ruby.
Mums are very kind, gentle people.
Yes. Question 17. How many tiers does a papal tiara have?
How many tiers? A papal tiara. Oh, okay. My Catholicism's not real good. I will guess at 3.
3 is correct, Ian. Cool.
The God is looking down on me and smiling.
Yeah. In June 1963, Pope Paul VI was the last to be crowned with the ornate triple tiara. A few months after his ceremony, he chose to donate his tiara to raise funds for charity.
Good man.
All right. Speaking of papal items, question 18. Who was in command of the army that seized and melted down the Vatican's 3 gold, silver and jewel-encrusted tiaras in the 1790s?
Napoleon?
Napoleon is correct. Question 19. Before the modern cowboy hat was invented in 1865, the majority of cattle herders in the American West were wearing slouch hats, sombreros, and bowler hats. Who invented the modern cowboy hat?
um... The name Stetson comes to mind.
Well, I'm going to give you that. The answer is Stetson, which means, Ian, that you're in the hot seat. Let's get this drum roll rolling. Question 20. Who wore an extra wide-brimmed white hat to an official ceremony at the White House in 2018, which made it difficult for their spouse to get close enough to kiss them on the cheek?
Mrs. Trump.
I said, come on, give me her first name.
Oh, that's... Ivanka.
Oh, now Lockie, shall I lead Ian? Okay, Lockie's giving you the thumbs up, Ian.
Lockie's a very kind man.
Lockie is a kind man. Here you go. Congratulations, Ian. Do you have any favourite songs about hats? I'm just thinking I can do a musical hat tribute for the next few minutes if you have anything to suggest. I'll see if we've got it.
You can keep your hat on.
Well, I have that right here. I've got the Joe Cocker version. Is that okay with you?
That's absolutely perfect. Thank you.
It's all worked out. Right. Thank you very much for all your hat correspondence tonight. It's been quite fun, hasn't it, hearing everybody's hat stories and finding out that so many people do carry a lost hat in their hearts as well.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.